All right. If you have your Bibles, we're in the book of Matthew. I think we'll pick up reading in the 12th chapter. And let's start at about verse 22. It says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a demon." It's translated devil, but it's the Greek word daemon. "Blind and dumb, and he healed him inasmuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" These things, they recognize what the Old Testament scripture said about the Christ. And so, particularly amongst the common people heard our Lord gladly. The problem was with the leaders within the structure of Judaism. They were jealous of him and afraid that if the common people followed after him, then the Romans would come and take away their place and nation. Well, when they rejected him and crucified him, what happened in 70 AD? The Romans came and took away their place and nation. Had the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Continuing on, and verse 25, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand?" So if I'm casting out demons by the power of Satan, you know, does that make any sense? So, and if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, good question. By whom do your children cast them out? See, they claim that they could cast out demons as well, but they're saying that he's doing it by the power of Beelzebub, or of the devil. And so, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit," in other words, attributing to the Spirit of God the works of the devil, is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, "and that shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit," I don't know why the translators translated pneuma as ghost, but misunderstanding. Anyway, pneuma is spirit, and they translated it ghost. "It shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Now, I read that to bring us into this verse, and this is going to take us back to Romans, those verses in Romans with respect to the sin. He says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by what? By its fruit. And we have an apple tree out back. It doesn't bear peaches. It doesn't bear pears. It doesn't bear apricots. It bears apples. Yeah. So we know it's an apple tree. Okay? "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Now, what did man receive when Eve was deceived and Adam willfully ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? They received a knowledge of good and evil. Okay. What, by definition, is a knowledge of good and evil, or right and wrong, what do we call it?
Morality.
One word, morality, right? Okay. So, what are all of the religions of the world based upon? What man can do for good by the life, or what man can do for God. I said good, but what man can do for God by the life that he lives. No. And since we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and since there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, how is that possible? It isn't. But we're so steeped in our churches, in the synagogues, in any form of religion, anywhere in the world, man is steeped in the concepts of right and wrong, good and evil, morality. Okay. Let's put it this way. Are any of you saved by the life that you live? No. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So if there's not a man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, how can we have a right relationship with God by what we do? We can't. Okay. Yet that thought creeps into churches that are what we would basically say fundamentally sound. They talk about the grace of God. They talk about salvation in Jesus Christ. But they can't get away from expecting you to live, quote unquote, a Christian life. Now, doing good is always better than doing bad. In the public realm, if you do bad, you can be charged with a crime, you can be arrested and tried and convicted and sent to prison. Or if it's a crime, a capital crime, you can be put to death for it. So, are there problems with doing evil? Sure. No. But there's also problems with thinking that you can satisfy God by what you do. Why? Because the scripture says there's not a just man upon the earth that does what? That doeth good and sinneth not. So none of us can meet God's standard of holiness. It's just out the window. Now, he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now let's go back to Romans. And I think we got into the 8th chapter last time, but I'll pick up our spot here in just a moment. We start in the 5th chapter with verse 12, and I'd like to read that again. Wherefore, as by one man, now in our English Bible, it says sin entered into the world, and that's true. By one man, by Adam, sin entered into the world. But we're not talking about sin in general. We're talking about sin in the specific. So, in the Greek language, just like in English, if I translated that, wherefore as by one man, the sin entered into the world, I wouldn't be talking about sin in general. I would be talking about sin in the specific, right? Well, what was the sin in the specific that was committed in the Garden of Eden? Eve was deceived into believing that if she disobeyed God and gained a knowledge of right and wrong, good and evil, morality, she could be like God. Now, it doesn't. Nobody talks about it that way. No. So man's morality did not come from God. Man's morality came from the devil. Man was created in the image of God. He was perfect in all of his ways until sin was found in him. And so Eve was deceived, and Adam, out of his love for Eve, knew that if he didn't eat of the tree, she'd be damned forever with no hope. Remember, he's in the image of God. So he also ate of the tree. So he gained the knowledge of good and evil, and as a consequence, were born with a concept. You know, it manifested very early in life, but we're born with a concept of do good, get good, do bad, get bad, right? We operate that way. The whole human family operates that way. And, for example, with the Muslims, killing Jews is good. You know, that's part of their religion. And the scripture says, thou shalt not kill in the law. But if you're a Muslim, you're killing Jews. In fact, I saw a film that was very overt. This little boy, I suppose he was maybe two. He was talking. And he had a dagger and a doll. And he kept stabbing it. He was a Muslim child. They asked him what he was doing. Killing Jews. Now, 2 years old, you know, and what's he doing? He's already been taught to hate his brother. You know, Esau and Jacob are brothers. And he's been taught to hate his brother to the point of exterminating his brother. Why? Because, he within his moral system, that's the right thing to do. Well, what about the scripture that says, thou shalt not kill? No. But for the Muslim, killing Jews is a righteous and holy thing to do. So we've got in the world, according to an online source, over 4,000 moral systems. Now, you say, how can there be so many? You know, all you got to do is change one thing. You can agree in every respect except one, and you can produce 4,000 from that. But the concept is what? A knowledge. What do we call morality? Morality is a knowledge of good and evil. It's knowing the difference between right and wrong. What are all of the religious systems of the world based upon? Now, when I say all but biblical Judaism and all but biblical Christianity. You know, and the Jews corrupted Judaism so that most of the Jews were wrapped up in a system of trying to establish their own righteousness, as well as most of the churches are wrapped up in a system of also trying to establish their own righteousness. It can't be done. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So when we read here in Romans, the sin, or the concept of being like God by knowing the difference between right and wrong, came into the world by Adam's sin. Now, not Eve's sin. Eve isn't the federal head of the human family. Eve was the wife of Adam. She was taken from a rib from his side. So when she sinned, then in order to, so that she might be redeemed, he sinned. You know, because in his, you remember he was still in the image of God. So he thought like God. He knew like things that God knows. And he knew that if he didn't sin, that she'd be damned forever. So he also ate of the tree. Now, we're born how? Every one of us. You don't have to teach a child to be naughty. You know, if you think that your good little boy or girl is learning bad things from the kids down the street, the parents down the street think they're learning them from your kids. And it's kind of a mutual appreciation society. One doesn't know the other knows, you know, and you get involved in it. Okay, so the distinction that has not been made but that should have been made for the entire church age. The distinction between biblical Christianity and every other system of worship in the world is biblical Christianity is not based upon your understanding of right and wrong or your performance of right and wrong. Biblical Christianity is based upon the fact that you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, and Christ died for sinners. And then when he died, he shed his blood because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or forgiveness. So he shed sinless blood to pay for our sin. And he's the only one that could do it because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We can't die for ourselves. We die because of sin, but we can't die for ourselves and be set free. So it takes a Savior. Now, let's turn into the sixth chapter where we were studying last time. And I'll pick a couple of verses at the beginning and then get back to our context. What shall we say to them? Shall we continue? And the translator, 30 times in chapter 5 through chapter 12, there are only 45 uses of the noun sin preceded by the definite article. There are a total of 45 in all of the Word of God. So there's 15 others besides these three or four chapters in Romans. So between the fifth chapter and the eighth chapter, we have it 30 times. Now, Paul only used it 3 times in all of the other books that he wrote, and he wrote the most books in the New Testament. Luke wrote the most words. Okay. But Paul only uses it 3 other times. So Paul was being specific here. You know, this isn't a matter of style. It's true that the Greeks use the definite article more than we do. So when you read about God, it's usually the God. When you read about Jesus, lots of people were named Jesus, you know, but it's the Jesus. So the definite article is referring to a specific Jesus, the one born. In Bethlehem, the one who is God, you know, so that John the Baptist referred to him, behold, what? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So the scholars ignore the definite article. But if they were real scholars, they wouldn't ignore it because you can't pass it off as a style of writing or a necessity in the Greek language when there are 175 uses of the word sin in the New Testament and only 45 of them are singular with a definite preceded by the definite article. So you've got 130 more that are of a different construction. Okay. So, what does that tell us? We need to pay attention. We're talking about a specific sin. The specific sin is the basis for every religious system in the world. Every single one, except in the Old Testament, Biblical Judaism, in the New Testament, Biblical Christianity. And in most of what is called Judaism and in most of what's called Christianity, they don't recognize that we're talking about the specific sin of Adam and Eve. And so let's look at Romans 6:23. And if you've ever read a tract, I don't care, you know, any tract that people hand out to get people saved. I never read in the scriptures, go into the world and pass out tracts, but Apparently, that's the way you do it. Anyway, that is from the practice of people. For the wages of sin is death. Is that true? When you let me ask you, every time you sin, do you die? No. You know, nobody puts you to death just because you looked at a gal and thought she looked pretty good, you know, or that you hated your brother or this or that, you know. So it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what brought sin into the world? When Eve was deceived, she gave also to her husband, and he did eat, and that brought sin into the world. So why do we die? Because of Adam's sin. And that distinction, though the New Testament makes it, most churches don't recognize it. Yeah. It's very, very important. And you know, I've read some very good scholars over the years, and most of them have a tendency to dismiss the Devenant article. And in fact, over in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we have the sin translated, the sin, and Schofield puts a note in there, remove the article. Yeah. So you can see that man wasn't thinking the way he should have been thinking. And Schofield was very sound fundamentally. You know, I don't agree with everything that he wrote, but you're not getting into much trouble with Schofield's notes. Yeah. So, the wages of the sin. Whose sin? Adam's. Why Adam's not Eve's? Well, Eve sinned first, but then Adam sinned, and Adam is the what we call the federal head of the church, or not the, of the church, but of the whole human family. Yeah. He's the federal head. So what do we mean by federal head? Well, we have a federal government. Now, whether you like Biden, don't like Biden, like the Democrats, don't like the Democrats, it doesn't make any difference. When they make laws, what? We're supposed to keep them. Yeah. Okay. So, they don't, but we're supposed to. All right. And basically, what's going on is they're trying to change America into a socialistic country. And why is socialism deemed the best form of government? Because it agrees with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everybody will have the same thing. Does it work out that way? No. We have a ruling class in every socialistic system in the world, and the common people hope to find a meal in Venezuela in a garbage can. But there's not much garbage in the can. No. It used to be the third or fourth richest country in the world. It turned socialistic, and now it's one of the poorest countries in the world. Now, we're not talking about politics. We're talking about a concept. Socialism. What is socialism? Well, everybody is treated the same. Everybody has the same. You think that Bezos and Gates and all those multi-billionaires want you to have what they have? No. No. They're barman. You know, I can't remember which one it is. I think it's Gates. But he's buying up farmland like crazy. He wants to control what you can eat. You know. And, you know, it's going to come out that way ultimately, because the Antichrist, who is the devil, is going to come, but he can't come while we're still here. trump shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I think almost simultaneously, the Antichrist will come to the earth and people will think that he's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews will accept him as the Christ and he'll rule and reign on this earth for 7 years. First 3.5 years is going to be wonderful. Last 3.5 years, God's going to judge this earth. And, they talk about global warming. Well, the day is going to be shortened by 1/3. If there's 24 hours in a day, you got to take away 8 hours, right? So that leaves 16-hour day. How can you get a 16-hour day? Well, you got to move the earth closer to the sun, so that, if it's closer to the sun, then what's going to happen to the temperature on the earth? We indeed are going to have global warming during the Great Tribulation period, and men will chew on their tongues for pain, but there won't be any relief. Now, let's come back to this. This doctrine is perhaps one of the most important doctrines in the Word of God, but the very fact that the translators, there are many people, Pensacola College in Pensacola, Florida, Pensacola Bible College, is very strong into believing that God preserved his word in the King James Bible. That is nonsense. Now, God preserved his word in the Greek and in the Hebrew text in which it was written. We still have them. The King James Bible has all kinds of translation errors in it. One quickly, in 1 John 3:7, it says, "He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Is that true? No. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. There, we have a direct contradiction. I had a fellow in my office one day who believed in King James only. And when I quoted those two verses, he says, "I better get outside to help my son." He was spreading seborrheic. He didn't have an answer, but he didn't want to change either. We had a couple of guys in black coats that came in the back door, walked in, sat down for a little bit. About the first time I quoted a Greek word, they got up and left. We won't accept what the scriptures as given by God says. We've got to say the way the King James translators translated it. That's true. But I just showed you a blatant contradiction. And they're all through the scriptures. And the King James translators didn't translate the definite article 30 times in these five books or whatever it is. From 5 to 8. So that's 5, 6, 7, and 8. Four chapters. Okay? So, let's pick up reading that. Verse 7. "For he that is dead is freed from these sins." When you die, this body of yours is not going to be able to function anymore, right? And it won't be until death that you will stop sinning. Because if we should say, as believers, that we have no sin, what does the scripture say? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So, "For he that is dead is freed from these sins." Now, if we be dead with Christ, now this is judicial reckoning, that when Christ died, God counts us to have died with him. "Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto what? The sin once. We talk about the fact that he died for the sins of the whole world, and that's true. But what's the basis of all the sins in the world? The one in that Adam committed in the Garden of Eden. The sin. Okay? So, what are we to do? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be indeed unto what? You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have to die to the idea that we can somehow or other make ourselves like God by the lives that we live. Yeah. And what's the whole religious world and so-called Christian world trying to do? Oh, if I could be like Jesus. It's ridiculous. There's no way we can be like Jesus. Jesus is God. He didn't have a sin nature. We do. And we don't get rid of it until we die. It's death that releases us from the sin. Now we died to it when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we, as believers, died to the concept that our life has anything to do with our relationship with God. And what are the people that, oh, that's antinomianism, you're preaching against the law. Yeah, Christ, fulfilled the law, and we're dead to the law. So how shall we, that died to the law, live any longer therein? Okay? So, likewise, verse 11, reckon. I suppose Paul was Southern. I reckon this and reckon that. What is reckoning? Putting things together and making them fit. And that's what our job, Eric, mine, being given the gift of preaching, and we are required to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. What if we don't study? Then we can wrongly divide it. And you can wrongly divide until the Spirit of God enables you to see something that's been there all along. For example, I wrote an article once, and the way that this is translated, I was talking about water baptism in the sixth chapter of Romans and was totally wrong. But it was commonly taught amongst Baptists that that's what this is all about. And you have to say, no, what this is about is being dead to the sin that Adam committed. What was gained from the sin that Adam committed? A concept of morality, good and evil. What is religion based upon? A concept of morality. All religion. That's why we have college classes on comparative religions. So everyone thinks that ultimately we're all going to go to heaven. That's the devil's lie. God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to be like whom? You're going to be like God. Well, the sin of Adam didn't make me like God. It made me a selfish, self-willed, stubborn individual who's going to do as he damn well pleases. That's what it made me. And then when the Lord saved me by his indwelling presence and by the word of God, he changes my mind. Are we ever going to be perfect in this body as long as we're in it? No, because these sins still works in it. And we have to understand that. So he says, let not the sin therefore do what? Reign. Now, most churches today are teaching their people, let your morality reign in your life so that you can be like Jesus. See? That's what's being taught. And all other religions in the world are teaching the same thing, only that they don't use the name Jesus. It's the same lie. It's at the basis of it all. So let not these then therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye shall obey it in the lust thereof. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. That sounds so wonderful. Yeah. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto these sin. In other words, I've got the concept that I can be like God by what I do, but when I function in that, what am I actually producing? Unrighteousness. See, that's what the verse says. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, how are our instruments, instruments of righteousness? Well, the Holy Spirit indwells me, indwells you, and by His Word and by His Spirit, He enables us to understand His Word and to understand that we don't serve Him in a touch not, taste not, feel not manner. We serve Him by believing Him, because whatsoever is not of faith is what? It's sin. So most churches today are, if you told them this, they wouldn't believe it, but they're teaching their people to sin by teaching them to operate in their morality. Now, what's the alternative? To recognize, good conduct's better than bad conduct. But my relationship with God is not based upon my conduct. Why? Because I'm dead. And because my life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, then shall I also appear with them in glory. So there's not one thing that I can do in this body of mine to improve my status with God. In this body of mine, I'm dead. And my life is what? It's hid. Now, somebody's going to say, oh, man, he's gone over the cliff. But what is the just shall live by faith? And the law is not of faith. Okay? So if the just are to live by faith and the law is not faith, how can I be living by faith and trying to please God by law? It's an impossibility. So we continue, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. See, the law points out our sin, but you're under grace. We died to the law. So God's not saying, aha, I saw you have that evil thought. Ooh, I was there when you had that wet dream or whatever. Sorry for being so specific. Yeah. But we can't control those things. They're totally outside of our control. Yeah. And so in our subconscious thoughts, we're sinning. In our conscious thoughts, we're what? Sinning. We can't live our lives without sinning. Is there a lesser degree or whatever now that we're saved? Yeah, the scripture tells us that so. But we're never going to be like Him until we see Him. And when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him. How? As He is. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? What's the answer? God forbid. May it never be, is what that idiom means in Greek. For you're not, for know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of these sin. That is, ye used to think according to your knowledge of good and evil in every way. And you thought you had a right relationship with God because you thought that way. Yeah. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to the iniquity unto the iniquity. What's the iniquity? It's the equivalent of the sin. Even so now yield yourselves members or yield your members servants to the righteousness. What's the righteousness? For by grace are you saved through faith. Yield yourself to that. There's not one thing you can do to improve your status. You know, if you want to please God, believe God. You know, and believing God is you're dead to the sin. You know, and your life isn't the measure by what. At the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged for the deeds done where? In the body. How? By faith, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and the new covenant relationship is, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them when? No more. So all of this bull about, the Lord's going to ask you about when you were in the back seat of that car with that good-looking gal, or he's going to ask you when about drinking too much, and he's going to talk to you about, all of those sermons. And believe me, when you go to Bible college, you have chapel every day. And every preacher that comes in does his and the best he can to legalize you students who are dedicated to God and are going to go into all the world and change it. What there is more, I'm not going to say it. I'll use the initials. There's no more BS taught in chapel classes in Bible colleges than in the rest of the so-called Christian world. Just a bunch of crap. And I don't know what crap is. There's all kinds of definitions for crap. For when you were the servants of the sin, you were free from what? You were free from the righteousness. What's the righteousness? It's Christ's righteousness. When you were the servant of the sin, you were dead in trespasses and sins and on your way to hell. But then the Lord, by his grace, changed your mind. And he said, I died for you. And if you believe that I died for you, I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. Well, how about that? If I have a bad thought, then it's under the blood, it's forgiven and forgotten, and it's never going to be remembered against you. And for it to be otherwise is to call our Lord a liar. And believe me, he's being called a liar a lot in services today all over the world, and they claim to believe on him. We've gotten the cart before the horse. We've gone back to the very thing that caused all of our trouble in the first place. And it's called the Christian life. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we know good behavior is better than bad behavior. But our relationship with thee is not based upon our behavior. It's based upon whether we believe you or not. And the just will live by faith, and the law is not of faith. We praise you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.